I have to talk to you about something that's kind of got me off a little bit today was Kevin Durant's comments and talking about, you know, Kevin Durant comes out and he was on a podcast somewhere that I don't pay enough attention to nor care to because I have other things to do. But anyway, Durant did say that the Golden State Warriors should not be blamed for his injury, right? And he talks about how at the time everyone went after the Warriors, and he said, how can you blame them? I heard the Warriors pressured me into getting back. And he basically says no one ever said a word to them about getting him coming back. He's a competitive guy. He's a superstar athlete. And he targeted game five, and that's when he came back. And we all know what happened. So what do you make of the comments about not blaming the Warriors before I ask you about the Raptor comments and the Raptor fans?
I'm very glad he made them. You know, I if you play back any of the interviews I did from the finals around that time, you know, I was swimming way upstream against that. I just thought it was preposterous, borderline insulting to Kevin Durant that people would presume that a guy of his stature in the league, of his experience as a professional, with the access, you know, his intelligence, his maturity, like, I mean, would allow himself to be put in a situation where he was playing against his will or better judgment. You know, I think, you know, like I say, I mean, Kevin Durant has been a superstar probably since he was 16, 17 years old, certainly a prodigy since then. And he's worth probably $500 million. He's surrounded and has access to the best possible advice. And, you know, the notion that was floating around that somehow he would cave into pressure from his team or his teammates or whatever was laughable to me. And but people wanted to run with that kind of version of events. And I thought it was really, really disrespectful to Kevin Durant. And I think it kind of touches on a theme generally where we're in a habit of infantilizing, like making like children professional athletes, where we kind of remove from them, from their hands, the decision-making power around their own careers, and which isn't to dismiss the fact that there are some, you know, that at some points along the food chain, you know, athletes are really kind of can get put in some tough situations because, you know, they're trying to thread the eye of the needle. But for the most part, you know, these guys that I've dealt with throughout my career are super tough-minded. They're super smart. They're very driven about what they want to do and how they want to do it. And, you know, they're capable of being accountable for the choices they make. And you know, which doesn't, you know, so I'm glad that Kevin Durant came out and was clear on that.
Okay, so Kevin Durant then says, and he basically says that the Toronto Raptor fans, and we saw what happened. I was at the game, you were at the game, and he delivers a message that Raptor fans, it will probably be the last time they will be in the finals. So is that coming from a guy who's just still sour on the reaction that he was greeted with when he did tear his Achilles? Or do we read anything more into that?
Well, the odds are he could be right, right? I mean, you know, teams, you know, the balance of power in the NBA tends to get pretty concentrated. And, you know, so that's why it's such a big deal when a team does make a finals or win an NBA title because, you know, it really is, you know, it's not like the NFL where it just seems like, except for the Patriots, you know, the roulette wheel keeps spinning around, right? And a little bit in baseball, too. Basketball really is about, you know, when you can acquire that depth of superstar talent like the Warriors have and other multiple championship teams do. You know, it's really hard to break through. So I think he's probably, you know, you could make a case he's right. Like, I don't see a championship on the Raptors horizon anytime really soon. But he's also playing true to character, right? Kevin Durant, he likes to clap back at people and chirp. And, you know, he's that's sort of his persona. So, you know, I don't think he's, you know, I don't think it's all that outrageous a comment. Were his feelings hurt by the fact that a small handful of people kind of waved him off the court. Like, I highly doubt that. You know, again, these guys are, they have bigger fish to fry. And, you know, I think, you know, again, I'd want to do a data dive before I make too many sweeping judgments about who was cheering, how they were cheering, what they meant when they were cheering, what they were cheering about. You know, if you know, a few handful of guys or people were really gleeful that Kevin Durant had torn his Achilles tendons
yep,
and went out of the way to say that and show that, well, they're kind of low class.
Well, but Michael, I will say this. Look, I was at the game, and when he got hurt, I for a split second, I was happy. I'm sorry. That's reality.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a split second. Joey.
Yeah.
Were you mocking him? Were you
No. But for 5 seconds, when he got hurt, I went, we're going to win the series now. We're going to win the championship, because I figured he was out for the series. And you know what? I wasn't unhappy about that. And I don't think a lot of other people were. Sure. Did I mock him? Did I boo him? Did I want his career to end? Of course not. I don't wish ill will upon anybody. But I was my hope at that time in my head was, I hope he's just out for the rest of this series and that he comes back and has a great year next year, because I really don't care at that point.
I don't think it's a crime against humanity that as a Raptors fan you saw the opportunity that presented itself when Kevin Durant got hurt. I don't think anyone has to lose sleep at night about that. To the extent you are, you know, cheering it on, you're mocking, you're doing all these other things, that's kind of, to me, is where you're kind of losing sight of the fact, you know, these guys are people and they deserve respect like all other people do.
No question. So before we turn our attention to FIBA, really quickly, I want to get your take on this lineup this year. Let's first talk about Stanley Johnson and the Raptors picking up, I think, players that are under the radar and not dissimilar, I think, than what the Blue Jays are going to have to do in terms of pitching. They're going to have to, you know, pick up some cast-offs that they, reclamation projects, or guys that are in organizations like the Dodgers that are ripe full of prospects that aren't going to get a shot. But, you know, a guy like Stanley Johnson, when you look at him, or Matt Thomas, who they picked up as well, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, but let's focus on Stanley Johnson, because I think this is the guy that could have the most upside. What do we make about him, and how do we figure he fits into this team next year?
Well, I think the short answer is he can't shoot, you know, and that's true of Rondae Hollis-Jefferson too. They're each guys who have been in the league multiple years, got drafted. Stanley Johnson was a lottery pick, and you look at him, you understand why. I mean, he's like one of those basketball players that looks like they were created in a lab. 6'8", long arms, super athletic, big, powerful body. You know, but I think the league has shown that if you really can't shoot, and so far in his career, Stanley Johnson has proven he really can't shoot. Your ability to impact games is severely limited. And, you know, like, I don't know all the circumstances of how he, you know, Detroit decided to move on from him, but it's never a really good sign when a team that drafts you in the lottery, even though they've had a turnover in management since, wants to move on. Like, there's usually, you know, they're very, very heavily invested in having players that they take that high reach that potential. And so when they don't, you kind of wonder. But it doesn't mean that, you know, it can't be found, you know, that they can't, you know, sometimes the player adjusts, sometimes the organization wasn't the right fit, so there could be 100 reasons. But I think with Stanley Johnson and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, I mean, Matt Thomas is a little bit different category. He's very clearly a specialist in terms of shooting the ball, so he's been brought in for specific reasons. But those two guys are part of, I think, a bit of a makeover in terms of identity, where, you know, if you're going to find an efficiency right now in the league, it's going to be with energy-type guys who don't shoot well. And those are guys you can get on cheaper deals that are going to be available. The Raptors, as you know, are well over the salary cap, and so they need to be cognizant of that. And if you can catch lightning in a bottle, either find a way to sort of make them passable shooters or develop a style of play that kind of de-emphasizes their weaknesses, then, you know, you can kind of have guys who produce above their fairly minimal salary commitments. I think that is what the logic would be regarding some of the choices the Raptors have made in the offseason.
We got about a minute here before we have to take the break. Nick Nurse is already having his way with this Team Canada roster and leaving his stamp on it. 2 months after the Raptors win, this guy comes in and he was named the coach shortly thereafter. Tell us about Nick Nurse and his style of coaching and how that's going to impact the Canadian team.
I mean, he's well-suited for an environment like this. You know, his systems aren't really complicated. He gives a ton of freedom to players. I think the roster, even though with all the NBA guys that aren't there, it's a high-skill, high-IQ roster that can really shoot. I think Nick Nurse is the way he likes to play, which is up-tempo, spread, fluid. And he really wants to get a lot of shots up, and certainly three-point shots. I think it's well-suited to the roster. So, and I think he's a guy that players really like to play for because he's very direct. He's got a clear plan. But, the base of it all is, let's put you in a situation you succeed and feel confident when you play, because confidence is the number one thing a player can give a coach. And I think that's probably Nick Nurse's greatest strength.